This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Was my man Michael Porter yesterday. It looked like Brady Quinn. It felt a lot like Aaron Rodgers yesterday when I'm thinking the whole time. In spec, you can attest to this. I said this whole time, Michael Porter's not dropping past the Chicago Bulls. Michael Porter is going to be a Bull. At worst, he's going to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then I'm watching the NBA draft yesterday, and they draft something who is a Wendell Carter Jr. Now, no disrespect to the kid, 19 years old, nice freshman at Duke. There's no chance he's a great NBA player. No chance. He might be a good NBA player, Wendell Carter Jr. No chance he's great. And then number 8's coming. I'm like, you got a chance to get the next Kevin Durant here. You got a chance to get a guy who called himself a mix between Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, if that's how you pronounce his last name, and Tracy McGrady. They go Colin Sexton. Now, I like Colin Sexton a lot, so I wasn't upset with that. And then I'm thinking number 9 overall. The crowd is chanting, we want Mike. We want Mike. We want Mike.
You get Kevin Knox.
They get Kevin Knox. Fake Michael Porter Jr. And then I'm continuing to watch it, and I'm thinking Philadelphia. You got history with taking guys who were injured in college, who the medicals maybe don't check out. Trust the process, right? No, they go with the hometown kid and then trade him 20 minutes later. Then the Clippers. Oh, the Clippers. We haven't forgot where you used to be as an organization. You had back-to-back first-round picks, and then you pass on Michael Porter.
Once they went Miles Bridges, I was positive they weren't going to take Porter, because if they were going to, they would have at least thrown him a bone and taken them with their first of their two picks.
And then, as you guys know, Michael Porter Jr. goes 14th overall to the Denver Nuggets. I don't think this is some hot take. I don't think I'm going out on some limb here. He must have the back of an 80-year-old. Because if you really follow the NBA, and we'll talk to Jared Sutton about this momentarily, and you watch enough NBA, Inspector, you watch enough NBA, I understand that not everybody listening is the biggest NBA fan in the world, but follow me on this. Man, after you get outside the top 8 of the NBA draft, it's a dice roll. The stars in the NBA draft are taken in the top 5. They're normally taken in the top 8. Anybody outside of that can be a good NBA player, but not too often are you going to find your great NBA players at pick 9 through 15. They're either going to be that diamond in the rough player, a second-round guy that turns out to be a fantastic player, or it's going to be your stars you're going to find in the top tier of the draft, 1 through 5. So I'm thinking any team that sits here and can see the potential I know Michael Porter has and I see with Michael Porter, and you see him at 7 and you pass. You see him at 8 and you pass. You see him at 9 and you pass. I was talking to people off the record that if he wasn't selected at 14, he was going to continue to drop, that there was a chance that Michael Porter could have been drafted in the 20s in the NBA draft. That goes to tell you that medical report, the medical record, is way scarier than we thought.
His back is bad, and I think it's like Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka bad. This dude ain't getting out of bed for a long time, because not only did all these teams pass on him, but think about a guy that has the upside of Michael Porter Jr. that nobody decided to trade up. Once he passes, like you said, at 5, and the Bulls don't take him at 6, at 7, then he passes the Cavs, a bunch of teams that could use a player in the exact form of a healthy Michael Porter Jr., that back must be bad news, man, because nobody took him, everybody passed on him, and then nobody traded up to get him. Have you ever taken a drive south out toward, like, Lewisburg or Spring Hill? I know you're a Missouri guy, so not really your neck of the woods. But
not really taking a lot of trips to Lewisburg, Kansas.
You'll usually hit something, is my point. There's some roadkill. Like, you know, you'll hit a fox, or you'll hit, you know, a small animal. You'll turn around, you look at it, and it just looks pathetic. That's how I felt about Michael Porter Jr. yesterday, where the look on his face was that of, I know how good I am, but I've never gotten a chance to show the public except for in high school. As a KU guy, Carrington, this has never come out of my mouth. I feel bad for that particular Missouri Tiger. I have never felt worse for a college athlete, knowing how talented he was, knowing what the upside is, the second-rated high school player was always projected to be a top five, top 10 pick, and the dude almost slid out of the lottery yesterday. Watching him yesterday was sad. Watching him play in the NCAA tournament was pathetic. And really the entire Michael Porter Jr. experiment at MU, I don't want to say it went completely sideways because the team went to the tournament. It certainly brought a lot of positives. But, man, if we look back 365 days, this thing certainly didn't go like it was supposed to.
No, it certainly didn't go the way it was supposed to. I think it did actually for Missouri. I mean, you make the NCAA tournament, you get the exposure having Michael Porter. It certainly didn't go as well
for
Porter.
And his brother.
And that's why I'm saying is the medical report must be far worse than we ever had imagined. Because Greg Oden. We all knew Greg Oden had injury concerns. That was not a secret coming into the NBA. Still got drafted number one overall over Kevin Durant. Joel Embiid had never played a complete season of basketball going into the NBA. So drafted number three overall. So these NBA teams that have seen other players who have battled injuries and had some of the issues all had the information to look at his medical reports.
It's a mixed bag. The question is, how much do you need this pick to hit right away? If you go out and you drafted DeAndre Ayton, you expect him to turn around your franchise within a couple of years. Marvin Bagley, guys like that. In the case of Michael Porter Jr., I think you have to come to the conclusion that he's probably not going to help us immediately, but can he still be a top two, three player out of this draft? And it's crazy to me that not just one or two or three or four or five teams passed on him, but 13 teams ahead of the Nuggets decided it wasn't even worth the risk.
No, that's absolutely fair. And text line 69306, this is the second part of the conversation. But I don't think a lot of you are thinking logically, and I mean no disrespect by that, but you're not thinking business-wise when it comes to this question. So why did Michael Porter stay in college? Let's go down this rabbit hole. If you know your back is messed up, the way nobody knows Michael Porter's health situation better than he knows it. You've been dealing with this. They've said since you were a junior in high school, you had surgery. You know what your body feels like after playing basketball. You know what your medical reports look like. You've been getting this information. You've been a top five, top three, number one prospect in high school basketball, seemingly since you were a high school sophomore. So you've always had access to the best information. You've always talked to college scouts. You've always had the ability to get this information. If you know your back is messed up, why would you continue to play in college for free? Like, someone describe or break down the logic to me to help me understand where in this scenario, it's better for Michael Porter to keep playing for free at Missouri. It's better for him to sign, which we can agree with him, a one-sided agreement of Missouri's going to get all the benefit of Michael Porter, but Porter can continue to lose money every single day. So I don't care if Michael Porter got drafted 21st overall. I don't care if he got drafted in the second round. There was no decision to make once you decided to get surgery. Once you decided to get surgery back in November, you had to declare for the NBA draft because you got to think logically here. The worst case scenario, and maybe the likely case scenario is, we all didn't really understand how bad his back was. I mean, that surgery happened in November.
And if he's going to be healthy this upcoming season, he might as well be healthy making money in the NBA. I suppose the only logic from the text line is this. A guy that almost fell out of the lottery that at one point was talked about as the number one pick in the draft, if he does come back and he looks like the Michael Porter Jr. that we thought he was going to, 20 points a game, pulling down 10 rebounds, leading his team to, let's say, an Elite Eight, then he probably is a number one, number two, number three pick, assuming that he's healthy an entire year. From his perspective, why would you do that just to be a higher pick in the draft opposed to proving yourself healthy your rookie year in the NBA?
Yeah, like that whole logic to me of what are the benefits of Michael Porter staying in college?
Now, you can question why Michael Porter decided to try to give himself the stage that was the NCAA tournament, because I thought if your back is unhealthy, if your team is good but not great, I don't think anybody thought if Michael Porter Jr. is healthy with this past Missouri team, they were going to go over the top and all of a sudden be a Final Four national championship team. Why try to put yourself on that stage if you're not completely healthy? That's the head scratcher to me. That didn't help him at all.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the negative now with the report. Like, you're telling me if Michael Porter never comes back to play in that game against Georgia, never comes back against Florida State, he gets drafted 9th overall. Like, but that's what I'm saying is I think playing in those games in the SEC was kind of a nothing. Hey, you came back. It was clear to everybody Porter wasn't 100%. He wasn't healthy. I mean, that was in March. We just saw a report. What was it? 2 weeks ago, Specter. He couldn't get out of bed in June. I think a lot of us thought Porter's at 60%, 65%, maybe 70%. But hey, by the time the combine rolls around, by the time you get a chance to showcase yourself in front of teams, he'll be back to new. That's not the case. I think that's pretty obvious now with Michael Porter.
But the unknown is sometimes a good thing. I mean, if you talk about a different scenario because there's not a health situation, but go back to Josh Selby, came out the same year as Kyrie Irving, right? Both guys were hurt. Josh Selby played, sucked, got drafted, and flamed out. What, a second-round pick or something. Then you've got Kyrie Irving, who only played a handful of games but decided, you know what, it's not worth coming back. In the case of Michael Porter Jr., Irving?
Yeah.
No, Kyrie Irving played a handful of games, then he was done. No. People went, okay, you're good enough.
Kyrie played in the NCAA tournament.
Did he?
Yeah, he played in the NCAA tournament against Stanford. Yeah, he came back to play.
I'll take your word for it, but either way.
Arizona.
Oh, Arizona, my bad.
Okay, well, it sounds like
he played in all three games like he's been in the confirmed. NCAA tournament, but they lost to Arizona this week.
Remind me, how did he do?
He played okay in the game they lost to Arizona. He played fairly
well. See, to me, that's the difference, is you either don't show yourself, or when you do show yourself, you at least show out. In the case of Michael Porter Jr., the last time the NBA scouts saw him, he looked like me on a basketball court. Not good.
I know, but what I'm saying is, I think a lot of us believed he was going to look that way in March, and once we got further away from the season and healthier, he was going to be a lot better. I think we saw yesterday the NBA say that's not the case. We saw reports last week that Michael Porter was struggling to get out of bed, and I think that sent shockwaves through a lot of teams, and they were worried about it. Because given the examples that you've given, Kyrie Irving hurt during his college season, still drafted number one overall. Greg Oden hurt during his college season, still drafted number one overall. Joel Embiid hurt during his college season, still drafted three overall. Man, these medical teams had the same information when it came to Michael Porter, and we saw from guys like Jeff Goodman. Jeff Goodman said that some teams said we would not draft him. They were told by their medical staffs to not draft Michael Porter. I think if anything, we saw that teams say his back is way more severe than we think it is. The injury is more severe, and even though he has the upside of it, that's not something we're willing to invest in. I think that's a completely different thing than Embiid. Teams were still willing to invest in Joel Embiid at a really, really high pick. I mean, all of us thought going into this draft to follow Missouri sports that he was going to go to the Bulls. He hired an agent out of Chicago. He's been working out of Chicago. I think they were angling to get him to go to Chicago. Once Chicago passed on him, I knew it was way more serious than we thought because all the writing on the wall was led to Michael Porter to go play for the Bulls.
Do you think it's going to work out better for him, though? Because you think about it. The way that you end up with one of these crappy teams is you're a really good player, right? It works that way in the NBA. It works that way in the NFL. You draft the best players because your team sucked the year before. That's why the Suns, the Sacramento Kings, and the Hawks had the top three picks. Denver has finished ninth in the West the last two seasons. I'm not saying he's the guy to take them over the hump, but it seems to me, especially with the health issues, in the case of a guy like Michael Porter Jr., you're much better off going to a team where you're option 3, 4, or 5, opposed to expected to be the guy right away, because this guy already has all the pressure in the world on his shoulders, which, by the way, shoulders and back aren't too good for that guy.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.